Good evening, everyone. Dobro večer. Thank you all for coming. We are continuing our discussion of Lila. This morning we read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which briefly mentions the encounter with Shurpanakha, she whose nails are like Shurpas, winnowing baskets. Continue that discussion with the details that are described in the Ramayana. As we saw, Bhagavatam is giving a very brief summary of the pastimes. As Shukadev Goswami says, he says, you've already heard this so many times. And so he's just giving a summary. But he's giving a summary also for the sake of completeness. You could say that the Bhagavatam it says, having assumed a charming form, she approached the Lord and with many a smile addressed the following words to him. This version, then we'll go back to Valmiki. She says, there is no man like you and no woman like me. It is with great deliberation that God has made this pair. Note the irony. Rama is God. I have ransacked the three spheres but have found no suitable match for me in the whole universe. It is for this reason that I have till now remained a virgin. My mind has been set at rest a bit only after seeing you. So she's giving her pitch to Rama. Let's see what Valmiki says. He says that she says, she says to Rama, your hair is matted in the manner of ascetics. You know, it's, what do we call it? Dreadlocks. Yet you have a wife with you, and you bear bows and arrows. How is it you have come into this region, the haunt of Rakshasas, the place where Rakshasas hang out? How is it? You look like an ascetic, but then you look like you have your wife with you. What doesn't all fit together? Questioned in this fashion by the Rakshasa woman, Shurpanakha, the slayer of demons, in his open manner, proceeded to tell her everything. And then he goes on to say, there's a king, his name is Dasharath, and I am his son, and with my brother, and also this is my wife, the princess of Videha. And then he explains, because I have been sent here at the order of my mother and my father, so here I am. Because I wanted to do what is right. And then it says, for doing right has always been my chief concern. My main interest is to do the right thing. But he says, tell me about yourself. Who are you? To whom do you belong? Why are you here? Tell me truthfully. And the Rakshasa replies, consumed with passion, listen then, Rama, I shall tell you, and my words will be truthful. My name is Shurpanakha. I am a Rakshasa woman. Who can form it? Why is she not taking on a beautiful form? And I roam this... And I roam this wilderness all alone, striking terror into every living thing. And then she explains, my brother is Ravana, and I have another brother, his name is Kumbhakarna, who sleeps most of the time. And also there's Vibhishana. He's a very righteous guy. He doesn't behave like us, like Rakshasas. And then I have two other brothers, Kara and Dushana, and they're very famous for their power in battle. But, she says, I'm ready to defy them all, to go against all of them, for I have never seen anyone like you. I approach you as I would a husband with true love, best of men. Be my husband forevermore. What do you want with Sita? She is ugly and misshapen and unworthy of you. I alone am suited for you. Look upon me as your wife. I will devour this misshapen slut. Slut is a quite heavy word for prostitute. If you're thinking you could be a second wife, that's not going to work either. And of course, Rama has vowed to have only one wife. But, he says, my younger brother here is of good character, handsome, powerful, majestic, and still unmarried. His name is Lakshman. Now it says he's still unmarried, but that's not entirely true. Because when Rama marries, his other brothers also marry. I don't remember the names. One of the names of one of the wives of one of the brothers is Urmila. I remember that. Anyway, and Rama goes on to say to Shurpanakha, he has never had a woman before and is in need of a wife. He is young and handsome and will make a good husband, one suited to such beauty as yours. Accept my brother as your husband, large-eyed, shapely lady. With no rival wife, the two of you will be inseparable as sunlight and Mount Meru. When the Rakshasa woman, wild with desire, heard Rama address her in this way, she promptly forsook him and said to Lakshman, I shall make you a lovely wife, one befitting your beauty, and together we shall roam pleasantly all through Dandaka. Lakshmana smiled at the words of the Rakshasa woman, Shurpanakha, and with customary eloquence made this fitting reply, this appropriate reply. He says, why would you want to be my wife, lotus-like beauty? I am completely subject to the will of my noble brother. I am a slave, and she who is my wife must be a slave as well. Become instead the junior wife of my noble brother, large-eyed lady of unblemished beauty. He is prosperous, and with him your fortunes too will prosper, and you will be happy. Soon enough, he will turn away from this misshapen slut, this hideous old wife with her pinched waist, and give his love to you alone. What man with any sense would reject this singular beauty of yours, my fair and shapely lady, and bestow his affections on a human female? So Lakshman spoke, and the pot-bellied, hideous creature, horrible-looking creature, unused to teasing, thought he was in earnest. She thought he was serious, and he's joking the whole time. He's having a good joke. She thinks he's completely serious. So she started with Rama. As soon as Rama sent her to Lakshman, she forgot about Rama and went to Lakshman and said, I'm yours. Now Lakshman's saying, no, no, he's for you. And now she's going to, okay, forget you, and she's going to go to Rama. Then, as Rama, the invincible slayer of enemies, sat with Sita before the leaf hut, the Rakshasa woman addressed him once more, wild with desire. She's always wild with desire, right? It's on account of this misshapen slut, this hideous old wife with her pinched waist, that you care so little for me. I am going to devour this human female at once, before your very eyes. Then, free of any rival, I shall live happily with you. Very bold. And with this, she flew into a rage, and with eyes flashing like firebrands, she shot toward the fawn-eyed princess like a giant meteor toward the star Rohini. But as she was about to fall upon Sita, she was about to attack Sita like the very noose of death, mighty Rama angrily restrained her and said to Lakshmana, never tease savage, ignoble creatures, Soumitri. Look at Vaidehi, dear brother. She is frightened half to death. Now, tiger among men, mutilate this misshapen slut, this pot-bellied, lustful, Rakshasa woman. So Rama spoke, and powerful Lakshmana, in full view of his brother, drew his sword and in a rage cut off the creature's ears and nose. The dreadful Shurpanaka, her ears and nose hacked off, gave out an ear-splitting roar as she fled back into the forest the way she had come, mutilated, spattered with blood, and all the more dreadful now. The Rakshasa woman roared incessantly like a storm cloud when the rains come, gushing blood all over, a terror to behold. She disappeared into the deep forest, howling, her arms outstretched. She made her way then to her brother, the awesome Kara, who was in Janastan together with a troop of Rakshasas. Mutilated, she fell before him to the ground like a bolt of lightning from the sky, spattered with blood. Wild with fear and confusion, Kara's sister told him the whole story, how Rama had come into the forest with his wife and Lakshman, and how she herself had been mutilated. Yeah, so this is what happens. So again, I mentioned this morning, there's a lot of violence in the Ramayana. There's a lot of this kind of thing. So what do you think? Was this going too far with Shurpanakha to cut off her nose and ears? Maybe she should have just... Huh? Maybe just one ear? More nice, just one ear. Huh? Maybe just sharp words, get out of here, get lost. But she was attacking Sita. So Misho thinks it was proper thing to do. Huh? Oh, it should have just been whack. Cut off her head. Yeah. Back home, back to Godhead. That would have solved the whole problem. If she didn't have a head, she wouldn't have been able to go back to Kara and Dushana, and then, you know, so many other troubles might have been saved.
She would attain liberation.
Huh? Yeah, liberation. Let's see if there's something in the Ramcharitmanas. Well, it just says, with great agility, Lakshmana struck off her nose and ears, thereby inviting Ravana through her to a contest, as it were. Agility with great expertise. Lakshman did this facial modification. Unlike surgical, yeah, some surgical procedure. Some, what's the word I want? Huh? What do they call it when they do surgery to make things look? Plastic surgery, yeah. I heard plastic surgery has become huge business now. So, as I said, this is what this sets off a kind of chain reaction. What will come next is Kara will become roused to action, that now Rama needs to be taught a lesson, and so he sends 14 Rakshasas with heavy weapons to kill Rama and Lakshman. Of course, it's the other way around. Rama and Lakshman kill the 14 Rakshasas, and then Shurpanakha comes back to Kara. Now she's really angry. She's really angry, and she's angry at Kara, at her brother. Why you send these wimps, these weaklings? You know, you got to get rid of this. You've got to kill Rama, and you just he just killed them. So then Kara sends not 14 but 14,000 rakshasas. And this is where Rama shows his expertise in the use of the bow. It's described that when it comes to the final fight, which is Kara against Rama directly, the sky is so filled with arrows that it becomes dark. Arrows are coming from both sides. It's So it's just like clouds of arrows going. And you sort of wonder, how does this work that one person is shooting arrows and killing? It's one against 14,000. How is that going to work? Right? And so we're reminded, who is Rama? Rama is the Lord himself. What is 14,000 rakshasas for him? It's just some fun. Bit of a challenge, but he's alert. And it also says several times how angry Rama is. Rama is in a rage. And so there's also this sense that with the Ramayana, in contrast to the Mahabharata, you could say, in the Ramayana, it's kind of a, most of the time, it's a quite simple, almost black and white, the good guys and the bad guys. There's Rama and his associates, and then there's the Rakshasas. And the Rakshasas, there's nothing good about them. They should just be killed. We saw yesterday and the day before, we read how, I read ahead at that time, that Ravana is scheming to get Sita and to abduct her, and so he wants to send Maricha, and Maricha tries to give him good advice, but he's not able to listen. So the qualification, that is to say the disqualification of these demons, is they cannot listen to good advice. Vibhishana is an interesting case, because Vibhishana is, in terms of birth, he's also a Rakshasa. He's the brother of Ravana, of course. But he has a completely different outlook, and he's trying again and again to also to straighten out his brother. He wants the best for him. He actually has, he seems to have some kind of hope for some time that Ravana could be reformed. But his understanding is, although he's a Rakshasa, it seems like he's not. And of course, what is he? He's actually a devotee of Rama, even if he is a Rakshasa. But in general, the Ramayana has this kind of simple black and white approach, whereas the Mahabharata is more complicated. People have mixed behaviors, more mixed, they're more mixed motivations. So the characters are more complicated for the most part. Yeah. Right. Any thoughts, questions, discussion on any of this so far? Shurpanaka or Sita, Lakshman, Rama? Yes, Rama. Yeah. Yeah, you could say like that. Why? The question is why, in front of Rama, Shurpanakha speaks so badly about Sita, but then later, when she goes to Ravana, she describes Sita as so beautiful. Well, in the presence of Rama, she sees Sita as her rival. And as her rival, she could not possibly have any good qualities, could she? And she's in the very foolish position of thinking she might be able to persuade Rama that indeed she is more qualified than Sita. Which, of course, makes her all the more ridiculous as we hear, as we read. It's obvious that she is quite clueless. She doesn't understand at all what is going on. And you can say the real problem for her is that she has no understanding of what is bhakti. Because the relationship between Rama and Sita, and also Lakshman, is a relationship of bhakti, of love, of devotion. And she has no idea what is that. All she knows is lust. As it says, she is wild with desire. So when a person is wild with desire, they can say anything to get their way. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to read this note about the time when this takes place. The calculation behind this is complex, but is based on the following key points. Rama had spent 10 years visiting the different sages of the forest, that's mentioned earlier. After Ravana's abduction of Sita, he gives her 1 year to submit to him, that's mentioned later. This period is nearly over by the time Rama arrives in Lanka, and that will be mentioned later. The victorious hero returns to Ayodhya directly after slaying Ravana, 14 years to the day since his departure, and that's mentioned in part 6. So this is happening near the end of the 14 years in the forest. So actually a lot of the Ramayana, because this is volume 3, Aranyakanda, the third part. So this is where the beginning of, you know, a lot of action begins here and then extends through to the end. So this is Ramayana Ki Jai. Yes. Yes. She seems to be a bit confused about herself. She seems to be in great delusion about herself. This is also, you can say, the effect of lust, that one cannot see things as they are. But again, as the comment mentions, commentary, the traditional commentators had trouble with this. How is it that she is not changing herself to look beautiful? Yeah.
Perhaps she doesn't know what is beautiful to Ram, and she's waiting to tell her. how he wants her to look like. Because she promised him, she says, I can take any form you want. I mean, I want. So she's waiting to tell her, you should look like this.
Okay, that could be an explanation too. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Is there some fault she had, that Sita had, that she becomes separated from Rama? We don't seem to have any account from like previous life or whatever. Her fault, you can say, is her innocent attraction to the deer. And I don't know if that's discussed. We might find something in commentary. I'll see if there's something about that later. It is mentioned when the description of the deer comes. We might read that briefly. I think I noted it here. When the deer is, here it is, the deer is described. Okay, this is Sarga 40. We're in Aranyakanda. So this deer, of course, is Maricha, who has transformed himself into a deer. It has ended, and we are back in the kingdom once again. This deer will adorn the women's quarters. She's already thinking, we're going to be back in Ayodhya, I will have this nice pet deer in the women's quarters. And she's imagining more about how it will be back in Ayodhya with this deer. But now she says something that you may find a bit shocking. But if you cannot catch the splendid deer alive, tiger among men, then his hide, his skin, would be a source of great pleasure for me. So in other words, get that animal alive or dead. Were the creature to be killed, I should like his golden skin to be stretched over a cushion of straw to make a seat. This, again, is something that's usually taken out of the summary versions of the Ramayana. Okay, so we'll end there. Shri Ram Leela Ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Jai Gaur Premanande, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai.